Justin, it's time for the wrestling show to take a very cynical look back at, representing the WWE and live from the PNC Arena in North Carolina's State University. It's Monday Night Raw, air date March the 18th, 2024. This episode is the Road to WrestleMania. So, let's go in.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Let it really wrestling. He likes to talk about it too. If you like what wrestling like he do, come join us on the wrestling show. On the wrestling show. On the wrestling show.
A Wellbo.
Wrestling.
And welcome to the Wrestling Show. I'm your most fickle host, Lip Hazelwood, and this is a very cynical look back at the latest episode of Monday Night Raw. But before we dive into the show, just a quick shout out to the non-competitors. That's right, they are the glue that holds the building together. First and foremost, representing the authority figure, and that is Adam Pearce. Next, there is nobody getting any pre-match interviews and no post-match, interviews or any backstage scoops. So yeah, no backstage scoops or any pre-match interviews today. So with that said, moving to the ring, we've got our the officials of the night. That's right. They are the referees, and the team of referees are, of course, Danilo Anfibio, Daphne Lachon, Eddie Orengo, Rod Zapta, and Sean Bennett. And of course, letting everybody know who's about to fight and the results of such matches. It's, of course, Samantha Irving. And last but not least, it's the commentary crew. The play-by-play guys, the hosts, and I call them the narrators of the whole damn show. They are the team. They're very reliable. Corey Graves, and backing him up is, of course, my personal favorite. I think he's a Hall of Famer for sure. He is the man with a raspy yet soothing voice. My personal man crush, it's Wade Barrett. And of course, without any further kadoos, let's get started with the big show. The big show. And there's a lot of stuff happening today, considering it's very last preparations for the WrestleMania. So we got six big matches on a card tonight, and we start off with, some I love cheese mousse with my French bread. Cheese mousse with my French bread. When I fill my belly up, I think I'll just go to bed. That's right. It's our favorite, Jey Uso. Now, Jey Uso's out there, and he straight out calls out his brother, his big brother, by a couple of minutes. It's Jimmy! So basically, they're building up to WrestleMania. They got the big WrestleMania match, the whole thing going on with that. And it's gonna be, of course, it comes down to this. When they're together, they've broken up, they went their separate ways. But it comes down to Jay still misses his big brother, Jimmy. It's so hilarious. Jimmy Uso is so, I guess, a complete buffoon. He completely rewrote history in his own mind, what happened with the bloodline. Why did Jay leave the bloodline? I guess Jimmy completely forgets that it was his idea in the first place. Oh, Roman Reigns, you shouldn't be the thing. Oh, I'm turning. So Jimmy Uso is the first guy to turn his back on Roman Reigns. And then Jey Uso, back up his brother, ends up leaving the bloodline. And then Jimmy's, Jimmy's a complete buffoon. He is completely... At least that's what I feel. I could be wrong, but that's how I'm reading the situation, because I've seen this before. You know, as far as my truth goes, it was Jey Uso. He left the Bloodline because he thought it was going to be Jimmy and Jey Uso leaving, or Jey and Jimmy was going to leave the Bloodline. Regardless, it is Jimmy taking absolutely no responsibility for what happened with Jey in Bloodline. Anyway, so it's they're going to build up the fight, and with, of course, Jimmy Uso, it's Solo Sikoa. So they're building up. Then you get it's a 2-on-1. Jimmy Uso and Solo Sikoa is trying to beat up some Jey Uso. They're successful. They beat him. They give him a good old beat down. Mm-hmm. Until, of course, Cody Rhodes comes out there to help. You know, so Cody Rhodes is true on his game, saying that he needs to take out the Bloodline. You know, that's his first thing he's got to do, and of course he's got Jey Uso's back. But where is Seth Rollins? You know, Seth Rollins also had a mission to take out the Bloodline, but he's not there. He ain't there. So anyways, it's Cody Rhodes pointing at the WrestleMania sign. I'll see you there. Even though he won't see any of those two there, Jimmy or Solo, because he's fighting the Tribal Chief. And Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Hey, Dominic Toretto.
Anyway, so backstage we got a little bit of upsettingness of, what's his name? Adam Pearce. Adam Pearce, he does nothing when you got people from from SmackDown coming in and trying to wreak havoc. He does nothing. But apparently Paul Heyman reassures Adam Pearce that Solo and Jimmy were acting on their own accord. Not according to, they weren't following anything the Tribal Chief was saying. So he said, they're gone and won't be back. Regardless, we move on to our very first match of the night. It is a tag team match, and it is the qualifiers for the six-pack challenge ladder match at WrestleMania. Now this one here is between DIY, otherwise known as the Spirit Squad 2.0. Now the only people calling them the Spirit Squad is me, because they are literally the new Spirit Squad, I feel. And it is the team of Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa versus, of course, the Creed Brothers. They come down as the Creed Brothers, so it is official. It is official. Diamond Mine is officially disbanded. It no longer exists. No longer exists. Now this one here, this match was dumb. Straight up D-U-M-B. This was, I'm not even sure, Johnny Gargano. Now, why call it dumb? Johnny Gargano, I'm not sure he knows what a tag match is anymore. You know, what is a tag rope? What does it even mean to have a tag match? While the Creed Brothers, they're NXT. You know, Johnny Gargano, he's been everywhere. So Creed Brothers were brought up in the NXT. So the tag ropes matter. Johnny Gargano, he doesn't give two farts. He's gone back to his old days of Independence Day. I don't know what's going on. This match was a joke. Johnny Gargano doesn't care about tag ropes. DIY, don't care. When you don't follow rules in wrestling, you know, when the rules aren't followed, you just have a bunch of adult men playing slap ass in that ring. Just, yeehaw, come on, let's have some fun. It's just ridiculous. I just think it was like that. It went there. So first thing is first. We got, of course, Johnny Gargano. He tags, he literally slaps the back of Tommaso Ciampa. Referee calls it a tag for some reason. Now, the referee in this match was Rod Zapata. Before I forget, mention his name, because good job on Rob. It's so ridiculous. Or Rod Zapata. Anyways, we got a point here where Johnny Gargano, it tags in by the back slap of Tommaso Ciampa. Should have been a tag. Rope wasn't used. So they come in the ring, they knock out the Creed Brothers from the ring, and then they got their old double, you know, tope planches outside the ring, crushing the Creed Brothers. And then, of course, their patent move, I always think it's the old Barry Horowitz self-pat. Barry Horowitz was alone, so he had to tap himself in the pat because there's nobody there to do it for him. So he had to do his own self-pat. I think these two DIY, they should tap themselves on the back, you know, each other. They sit down like, yay, we're cool. And then they turn to the left. Tommaso taps Johnny, tap, tap, tap. And then turn to the right and Johnny taps Tommaso. It would be so gay. They would love it. The crowd would eat it up. Anyways, moving on. After that dumb thing, it is we got a moment where it seemed like a double hot tag. It's Julius tagging in Brutus and Tommaso Ciampa rolling over to his corner, and then Johnny Gargano jumps into the ring. He just jumps into the ring for no apparent reason. He just jumps into the ring. Michael Cole tries to justify this. Like, oh, there was a tag. There was no tag. This match is nonsense. It's nonsense. So, Johnny Gargano runs into the ring there. They start wrestling there. And then it's, I believe, Brutus tries to, he tries to pin Tommaso Ciampa. Referee starts counting. So what does that even mean? If Michael Cole was right, Tommaso Ciampa is not the legal man. And then he suplexes Johnny Gargano, and Johnny Gargano gets it. It's a double pin attempt, and the referee counts again, but still only looking at Tommaso Ciampa's shoulders. Because it's true, Johnny Gargano just ran into the ring. Just like, what? What's going on? Anyways, but they always get one, right? I don't know. There's no rules in this. It's ridiculous. So here we go. Number two for Johnny Gargano, running into the ring. It is the Creed Brothers setting up Tommaso Ciampa for the Brutus Ball electric chair drop combo. When Johnny Gargano finds himself in the ring again to pull Tommaso Ciampa to safety. Now, referee should have disqualified him right there. He's like, hey, you can't do that. But then again, you know what? There are no rules. There's no set rules in the tag team match. It's whatever it goes. Whoever designed a match, they either put the rules in there or they don't care about the rules at all. So ridiculous. Anyways, they go on fighting some more. And then the third time, Tommaso Ciampa, Tommaso Ciampa's getting downed, beaten up by Julius Creed this time. He's got the leg, maybe going for some sort of ankle lock. And then that's when Johnny Gargano runs in the ring again. Again. It's like, huh, boy. Huh, boy. Referee, wow. This is no structure in this match. It is whatever's going. Now we go to a finishing sequence, which was hilarious. A lot of tandem hilarity going on. Where Brutus Creed joins his brother Julius, and they both grab the Tommaso and, you know, Johnny. And they get the matching sequence. They do both do an ankle lock. Oh, got the ankle lock on you. Both got the ankle locks on. But then it gets turned around again. Both Tommaso and Johnny just reverse it from somehow. Not reverse, but counter. The ankle lock to like one's like a ring of Saturn and one is a LaBelle lock, and they got them. One's a Johnny escape, one's the Sicilian stretch. Got that on, like, hey, we got that. And like, and then it's a Creed Brothers breaking out of that, picking them up, and then smashing the DIY together. Yeah, this was a lot of fun. Okay, so end sequence. Is the Creed Brothers to get Tommaso Ciampa up for the, electric chair drop. Brutus Ball once again. Tommaso Ciampa victory rolls out of it with a victory roll pin sequence. Brutus Creed breaks up the pin. Him and Johnny Gargano. Johnny Gargano gets rid of some Brutus Creed. They roll out the ring there, you know. And then inside the ring. It's ridiculous. Again, number four, I believe. Number fourth time, Johnny Gargano decides to cheat. So ridiculous. It is a roll-up sequence. Brutus Creed's rolling up, like on Connor roll style, onto Tommaso Ciampa. That's when Tommaso Ciampa jumps back in the ring there and super kicks Julius Creed in the face. So ridiculous. Yeah, DIY. You know, do they even know what a tag team match is? Whoever put this match together should be launched out of a cannon to AEW. Real quick. Tommaso Ciampa gets the pin on Julius Creed. Moving on to the six-pack challenge. DIY. Johnny Wrestling. Well, yeah, Johnny Wrestling when he's wrestling on his own. that tag team, just this. Okay, so next up, we go backstage, and it's with the Judgment Day. You know, Rhea Ripley back there with the team, Dominic Mysterio, Finn Balor, JD McDonagh. And they've got an eye on Andrade for next week. He's got a match next week. Get some point, go and check him out. Then it comes down to this. Damien Priest. He's all up in JD's face for losing their opportunity at the Intercontinental Championship gold. When JD lost against Wait for the Ricochet. Embarrassing Judgment Day, so to speak. But now it's, I guess, Dominic Mysterio is to avenge the humiliating loss by JD McDonagh by going against, by trying to beat Ricochet himself is going to be in that match. JD, it's going to be, what's that? Dominic Mysterio versus Wait for the Ricochet. So, but Andrade, oh my goodness, his battle with the English language. Now, I gotta say, if I were to try to speak Spanish, I would sound like a complete fool, an absolute fool. Because I don't practice Spanish. I don't know any Spanish. I never learned a day in my life. But Andrade, he's been working maybe 10 years on his English, and it's still... It looks like every time he talks, he's like he's got marbles in his mouth trying to just spit out those words. Oh, it's so frustrating. Regardless, at least he's almost bilingual. So and after that, we go on to In That Ring. It's another tag team match. It is, of course, between in the women's division. This is Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell versus, of course, former tag team championes, Kayden Carter and Katana A Chance. Now, this one here is all about the storyline of Candice LeRae, fed up of being a loser, being Mrs. Nice Girl, and she's just laying it on the line. She is now literally the poisonous pixie. So this is basically pushing her mean streak. And that's basically it, I think. Just her mean streak showing. So we all know who's going to win. Now that Katana, Chess, and Kayden Carter has become the women's champion, they dropped it. Now it's them being pushed people to other wrestlers, other women. And that's why I think that's what Carter and Chance has been relegated to. Just the mid-Carters now. Mid-Carters and Chances. Oh, boy. So anyways, this match here was about a little under 2 minutes. 2 minutes. And your referee of the match was Eddie Orengo. Eddie Orengo was the referee. Now it starts fast. It's, Kayden Carter's in the ring first. She eventually gets kicked out of the ring. And she eventually tags out to Katana Chance. Team Teeny Tiny. They're both, they can't weigh. Both of them together, Katana Chance, Kayden Carter, can't be more than 190 pounds. Anyways, because they're so small. Okay, so in the match here. It's we got a situation where, Katana Chance is now in the ring there. And she's kicking ass. She's kicking ass on everybody's ass. You know, she's destroying both Candice and Indy in the ring there. And then it comes to a point where it's Indy's in the ring. Well, Indy's in the ring there. She's beating up Indy. Indy's in the ring. And then she picks up Candice. Picks up, Katana. And she basically flips her around. She flips her around. She has a gut wrench. She flips her around. And then Katana lands on her feet. She's, oh, my knee. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. She hurt her knee, apparently. She hurt her knee. Like, oh. No, I don't buy that one bit. But anyways, it's written that way. So Eddie's like, oh, you okay? Oh, and get back. Reed gives her some chance to see if she's okay. And then, you know, Kayden Carter checks out Katana. It's her knee. And then, of course, Indy Hartwell, she goes and consults with Candice LeRae. Candice tags herself in and decides to finish the job. She goes with slide drop kick onto Kayden Carter outside the ring. She was outside the ring. She slides out the ring and she grabs Katana Chance's leg and then she plows it against that ring post. And thank goodness for the weird rules of the WWE. We can, in fact, throw someone's body into any inanimate object. Ring post. Steel steps. Chair. Commentating table. You can do all that stuff. They don't care. So then, yeah, leg against the steel post. She gets in the ring there to finish off the job with a, what's that, a knee bar. The champagne super knee bar with that grappler in there. And right there, before she even puts it in there, it's a tappy tap tap. Tippity tippity tap. Now what gets me? It's a fact that when, I believe this for sure, when Katana Chance, when she did a flip around, she landed on her feet, one leg, one of her knees, her, I believe it was her left knee, buckled. Oh, my left knee! And then she, her right knee was tackled, was attacked. It's like, okay, that's just laziness. Anyway, so Candice LeRae, she's all happy with her win. She goes and does a high five with the Indy Hartwell. Indy Hartwell's not quite there. Well, she picks up Indy Hartwell's arm. Indy Hartwell's confused because she's a good girl. She's a good girl and she's got to do things right. The Australian way. I don't know. But she's not pleased or she's just confused with the new attitude of Candice LeRae. Will his team last? I think Candice LeRae is better off either with her husband and the way make the big faction. But if she doesn't have Johnny Gargano in her team, she's better off being on her own. I think Candice LeRae is a brilliant wrestler. She's been around. She's fought everybody. Men, women. She's been here. She's been everywhere. She's a journeywoman. You know? And I think Candice LeRae is best suited going Han Solo. But regardless, this is, I think, it's just the beginning of the split of Candice and Indy. Moving on. Moving on. We have ourselves something huge.
Royal Family.
That's right. There's still no music. It's Cody Rhodes! That was really loud, so I'm apologizing for the start of that.
In my bowels, and I think I'm gonna blow. There's a bathroom stall, I'm finally here. The toilet's there, I'm about to blow. I ate 5 tacos before the show. Shut the door and I sit down on the throne. Oh, whoa, I was never party trained when I was younger. My father was never there. I did a perfect day, don't have to do lingerie.
Anyways, Cody Rhodes, this is all built up to WrestleMania. Cody Rhodes has got a really busy WrestleMania. A really, really busy WrestleMania. Because he's got 2 big matches at WrestleMania. And he's got, of course, the main event, his big main event match with Roman Reigns. Such. He talks about The Rock. Because him and The Rock has got some issues. Because Rock, man, oh man, The Rock is trying so hard to recapture the glory of the old days, you know, The Rock. And Rock is saying that he is such a heel. Rock is a super heel these days, you know. But you know what? Cody Rhodes doesn't think he's quite the heel The Rock thinks he is. He's, after all, Cody Rhodes has been with many heels in life, you know. Such as Ric Flair and like Harley Race, regardless of who the heels were. Cody Rhodes thinks The Rock is just straight up an asshole. An asshole! You know? He says he's going to tell The Rock, he's going to slay it online. He's going to tell The Rock how Cody Rhodes sees the situation of The Rock. Now, he sees one thing. The Rock is, of course, on the Mount Rushmore of wrestling. Of wrestlers. But, however, The Rock is, I quote, a terrible salesman, a carny succubus. Yep, a succubus, a demon woman, you know, with that, heartless. Anyways, demon woman. Anyways, a whiny and an all-around whiny bitch. Now, The Rock. We talked about Cody Rhodes crying in wrestling. Going, my mommy, my wife, a good one for them. You know, he can plot that out. And he talked about how he's going to do it for your mom. He's going to make your mom, you know, Anyways, he talked bad about his mom, and it comes down to this. You know what? He's Cody says, I know your mom too. I know your mom very well, and I respect her. And I don't know why you talk so bad about my mom. You should respect her too. Respect our mamas. Marta! Superman, no! Anyways. So it comes down to that. And then, now, also, he says, Rock, you have what's called the little dick syndrome. And at WrestleMania, the final boss will be considered Roman's side chick. Oh, flames. Flamethrower on the Rock. However, Paul Heyman decides to join the conversation. You know, he apologized for the nonsense that meant nothing. And he's talking about this Friday on SmackDown will be a face-to-face between Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes. And, of course, Paul Heyman going to be there. He's going to be there, the only one there. And he promises that. He says, if you accept this, come down to SmackDown alone, and we'll come there alone, too. So what does that mean? It means that, obviously, the Bloodline will be lying waiting backstage somewhere to pounce, because they can't have Roman Reigns losing that belt. So, anyways. So, I guess Cody Rhodes agrees. Friday, I'll be there alone. Roman Reigns, he can bring you, but as long as he's alone, because you're just, you won't do any fighting. Anyway, so after that, we go backstage. It is with, Nia Jax. Talk about her history with Becky Lynch. She's never lost to Becky Lynch. And basically, after she beats Becky Lynch in this last woman standing match and main event, she wants to go to WrestleMania. She wants to take Becky Lynch's spot to WrestleMania to take out Rhea Ripley. So I'm thinking, ooh, that's a telltale sign. Becky Lynch is going to win before her big match, you know, at WrestleMania. So how's this match going to go? We'll find out at the main event. Moving on. We got backstage again. It's with Cody Rhodes. And Jey Uso. Jey, worried about Cody Rhodes' future at WrestleMania, saying, hey, or not WrestleMania, but next week on SmackDown, coming on SmackDown, this week on SmackDown. Jey Uso's worried about Cody Rhodes for this week on SmackDown. He thinks, you know what? Hey, I got your back. If you need me, I got your back. Because the Bloodline, I know them. I was part of them. You know, they're going to get you. He didn't really say much like that. But anyways, he says he's got, Jay's got Cody's back if he needs such help. But Cody Rhodes said, no, I got my principles. So next up, we got ourselves a big match. It is Wait for the Ricochet. One of the greatest wrestlers out there right now. He's on a slight winning streak. I think any federation... Ricochet is a champion. He would be a champion with these. But in WWE, he seems to have the glass ceiling is firm and never going to break for the guy. It's like him and, Sami Zayn, Shinsuke Nakamura, Chad Gable, Otis. The list keeps on going on and on, you know. Montez, Angelo. Regardless. LWO. Anyway, so... Except for Rey Mysterio. Okay, so of course, this match here. This is Ricochet versus representing the Judgment Day. It's Dominic Mysterio. Now this one here, on paper, Ricochet, one of the greatest wrestlers out there. He knows how to do it. Dominic Mysterio, future Hall of Famer. Great. Former North American champion. Ricochet, former champion, North American champion himself. United States champion. He's been champion. But never a big chance. Regardless. So this match had all the potential to becoming a great match. But however, it wasn't. It was just... It was kind of nonsense. Because on Dominic's side is JD McDonagh. Refereeing this match is Danilo Anfibio. With this 10 and a half minute match. This was a barn burner. But this was very average. Very average, you know. We got a moment here where outside the ring, Ricochet goes for a... one of his Otope Suicidas onto Dominic Mysterio outside the ring, but he was pushed out of the way by JD McDonagh. Now, that's interference. I don't care what you say. That is interference. He's not part of the match. Therefore, referee had two choices. Well, he has three choices. He sure chose a third. But the first choice, A, to disqualify Dominic. Two, eject JD McDonagh. Three, do nothing. And he did nothing. So we go on. Right after that, basically, it's, Ricochet. He goes for his, a planche? Corkscrew planche. Squashes Dominic Mysterio, gets back in the ring there. By the time he throws in Dominic Mysterio, the referee always, that's what they do, it's a referee thing. It's the protocol, referee protocol. When the opponent is thrown back in the ring, he's got to turn his back on everything to make sure the opponent is in the ring properly. I don't know why. But it is what it is. And when Ricochet tries to get in there, it is JD McDonagh stalling him by pulling his leg. Pull my finger. Nope. I'm going to pull your leg so you don't fart. So here we go. After that, is Ricochet. He tries to get Dominic Mysterio. He's on top of things. And then JD McDonagh again gets on a ring apron. And it's, Ricochet take his mind off of Dominic Mysterio again. Gives him one massive Jericho springboard kick to the head. Springboard enziguri. And after that, it's Ricochet gets caught off guard by Dominic Mysterio. He drops him onto the ropes and goes for a 619. However, Ricochet avoids the 619. And then gives a new finishing move. It's the recoil. The recoil is all, usually, until today, it's usually a setup to a bigger move, like the Shooting Star Splash, 450 Splash, you know? Or the, what's that, or something rolling Santon. But no. Just a recoil. 1, 2, 3. It is over. It's like, wow. Just a recoil. And then this match could have went to the next level. This match could have gone to another level. But this match just said it's good enough. We did enough. You know? We can't outshine everybody here on tonight's roster. And they did not. So yeah, however, with that said, this was the match of the night. After the match, it is, of course, JD McDonagh. He tries to beat up some Ricochet. Ricochet escapes with his life. And that is that. So now we go backstage. It is with Chad Gable and Sami Zayn back there. You know, Sami Zayn just beat Chad Gable to move on to the Intercontinental Championship match against Gunther. You know? And it's basically, Sami Zayn's not too pleased with, Chad Gable's mindset, thinking he's the most important person. He should go on to win, beat Gunther, even though he can't beat Gunther himself. He tried two times and lost two times. So it comes down to this. Chad Gable does not feel Sami Zayn can beat Gunther. And we leave it at that for now. So they go, after that, we go to the ring with Cody Rhodes, with Adam Pearce, residing over a major contract signing. And it is between Sami Zayn and Gunther. Now, I believe it's Jimmy Hart said, it matters how a wrestler dresses while in the ring. You know, you dress up to look like a star, or if you dress up like a bum, like a crowd member, your next thing you know, you're going to be in the crowd. And this is the same thing. It is Sami Zayn goes there with his Sami Zayn t-shirt on and his jeans and boots. I just look like a crowd member. I don't give a shit. And Gunther brings that up. You know, this is the most important contract signing in the Intercontinental Division right now. And you dress like that. Shameful. Like the crowd. Like the bum crowd. So, Gunther says straight up, it's like, basically he says Chad Gable doesn't think he can beat me. Even though the crowd here, now, Gunther, his mic skills are great. I mean, he doesn't just talk and say, I'm stronger than you, I'm going to beat you up because I'm strong, I'm better than this. No. He has points to make, he's his intelligent thoughts, and he can communicate very well. Gunther, 5-star in the ring, 5-star mic skills. Gunther, there's nothing but great things for Gunther. I can honestly see Gunther becoming eventually the number one guy in the WWE. That's how good he is. So he says that Gunther talks, but not only does Chad Gable doesn't think he can win, but even though, and even though the crowd seemed to very, they like Sami Zayn. They cheer for Sami Zayn, but even they know Sami Zayn will not win this match. So even though nobody believes you can beat me, not, and he just says, you know, not even you. I don't even think you, Sami Zayn, think you can beat me. You know, this is where dreams meet reality at WrestleMania. But here's the thing. Dreams meet reality. And the whole thing is like, your dream is to beat me, but reality is you can't. But dreams to reality can also mean Sami Zayn's dream of becoming Intercontinental Champion becomes a reality. And I think that is a very possible situation. I think Sami Zayn will become Intercontinental Champion. I mean, it is a belt. It's a belt. You know, but Sami Zayn in the World Championship belt, that is like an unattainable thing. You know? Might as well be Avatar for unattainium. Regardless. So they get fierce, they get face to face. Sami Zayn thinks he can, just like the little train that thinks he could. Well, with it, I think maybe. I think Sami Zayn, yeah, Sami Zayn's got a good chance because Gunther, he's already made his point. Either that, are they really going to push him to like 1,000 days as champion? He made his point. I think Gunther is ready to start a new exposition for the number one championship. Anyways, regardless, with that said, we go to a next match, which is a qualifying match for the six-pack challenge at WrestleMania. This one here is the awesome truth of Miz and R-Truth. I call them the unfortunate truth because it's, come on. The losers of watching this is the fans. Miz and R-Truth, who wants that? Nobody. When I say nobody, I mean me. Versus the team of Indus Shear. They are Sangha and Veer with Jinder Mahal as their spiritual leader, or whatever he calls himself. Maybe he's a Taj Mahal of the, who knows. And the Maharaja of the team, Maharaja. But what seems as though they're two gigantic guys. They always underperform. Something's always wrong with them. Something happens. They're rarely around, even though it looks like Indusheer, both they can be tag team champions. They could be, there's nothing could stop Indusheer but Indusheer themselves. And they've been doing that. Indusheer's, Sangha and Veer, they've been making their own roadblocks themselves. So I know this. Between this match, Miz, R-Truth, Sangha and Veer will indeed lose. Because that's what they do. That's what they do. They're just used in this tag team match because, the WWE tag team division is garbage. Straight up trash. So they're going to do whatever they can to bring up people that's not really around. But how about this match? This match here was about 3 minutes and 15 seconds. Maybe almost 3.5 minutes. Refereeing this match is Daphne Lachon. This unfortunate match. Now, one thing came out of this match was incredible. Veer, he pulls out this standing elbow drop. Now, this elbow drop goes maybe even higher. He maybe got more height than LA Knight's standing elbow drop, which is saying a lot because LA Knight's standing elbow drop is the best in the business. It is beautiful. But Veer, with the move of the night, move of the match, I should say, is a massive standing elbow drop on the Miz. It's really good stuff. Now, of course, Miz tags out with a hot tag out on R-Truth now. Tag ropes don't matter again. R-Truth had a rope. He takes his hand off the rope to get a tag. It's ridiculous. I don't even know why the WWE still continues with the ridiculous charade of tag ropes. I say zone out the ring apron. Where you got to stand there. Or it straight up doesn't count. It's pretty simple, I think. In my mind, it's simple. But who knows? Who knows how they can mess things up? So it's R-Truth. Oh my goodness. He's, mimicking John Cena's all his moves on Veer. You know? Sangha comes in to try to help out his hapless friend. He gets double dropkicked right in the face! And Sangha's like, oh, Sangha! Oh! He couldn't do anything. I think he was supposed to flip out of the ring there, but he's not athletic enough to do that. So he just feigns pain in the corner. Oh, Sanga! So ridiculous, Sanga. Anyways, then we get the most sloppiest move, double team move. This is why it's unfortunate truth. It's Miz goes for a... it's supposed to be... you know, Miz goes for a skull-crushing finale, which is a basically a... what's that? A, like a side Russian leg sweep, but they're both going forwards. And then it's R-Truth supposed to, on top of that, get a flatliner on there. But R-Truth is just a little bit too quick. They didn't, weren't synced up. And R-Truth slaps on the ground first. He looked like a fool. And then the move happens. Like, wow, that's dumb looking. But it happened. So that's Veer. He's out cold. Sanga tries to help out. Sanga picks up, tries to throw Miz out of the ring. Miz, with the sloppy, now Miz does this missile dropkick outside the ring where he tries to catch himself before he falls out. The Lyra Valkyria, you know, safety dropkick. You know, so she catches up for, you know. So he does that. His bum hits the bottom rope and he bounces. It looks so dumb. Oh my goodness. Miz, when he tries to take out Jinder Mahal, Jinder has to sell that dumbass dropkick. Miz slides out of the ring there. Then the dumbest part happens. There have been dumber things happen, but this is pretty dumb. He slides out. Sanga. Sanga accidentally elbows. What's that? R-Truth in the face. R-Truth falls into cover. Falls on top of Veer. Daphne counts 1, 2, 3. R-Truth, no idea what's going on. Whoa, what happened? You can deal with this. You can deal with that. You can deal with the mental baseball bat on my head because I'm an idiot. Now, that wasn't part of the song, but it should be. R-Truth completely baffled what's going on, and Miz like, yay, we won! Okay, with that said, we move on to backstage. And it's, again, it's after the whole thing in the ring there with this contract signing with Gunter. It's Sami Zayn confronting Chad Gable again. What do you mean? What do you mean? I can't beat Gunter. It's like, explain yourself. And that's exactly what Chad Gable did. He said, you don't win convincingly. You barely win your matches. You barely squeak by. When you win, you squeak by. And it's true. You know, Sami Zayn takes advantage of his opponent's mistakes and capitalizes on it. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. That's just intelligence. When you do not have the advantage with size, you got to use your brain. You know, and that's what Sami Zayn's wrestling is about. You know, he doesn't have the size. He's got to use his intelligence to win. Take advantage of situations. That's what you do. But apparently, that does not work with Gunter because he does not make mistakes. So, Sami Zayn has to reevaluate how he wrestles. So, in order to beat Gunter, Sami Zayn has to be stronger than him. That ain't happening in 2 weeks. So, yeah. Interesting words of advice. Yeah, so Sammy, you can't you rely on your brains anymore to beat Gunther. You just got to be straight up stronger. And physically, you know, I don't know. So next up is hilarious. We got some, now it was supposed to be an in-ring promo by Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre's music hits, but then as soon as he's walking to the ropes, it is a... Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's right. Seth friggin' Rollins charges down to the ring there. Now, Seth Rollins, the fashion choices is always questionable these days. You know, he might wear his entire bedroom set, his blanket set and for his bed. He did that before. His comforter, his bed sheets, everything. He wore it all. You know? I call it hobo chic. So anyways, I still think his wife dresses him. He's, you know, he doesn't care. Wife likes thinks he's a fashionista. And I'm bitching him out of it for no apparent reason. So it is Seth Rollins gets in the ring there with Drew McIntyre. So now it's this. It all comes down to this. Seth Rollins starts talking and it's all built up to WrestleMania. Seth Rollins is night two match against, Drew McIntyre. Where I do believe Drew McIntyre will win. Anyways, this whole thing is Drew McIntyre. Seth Rollins just does not like Drew McIntyre. He says, I don't like you. You're stupid. You're a hypocrite. and you say a lot of dumb things. And it's true. Drew McIntyre is a complete hypocrite. You know, everything Drew McIntyre has done, he blames other people for doing the same thing, but calls him stupid for doing it, regardless, something like that. Anyways, but Drew McIntyre, he got one thing correct. The fact is that Seth Rollins is a junkie for the spotlight. Mm-hmm. Now, it's true. But that's what goes for it. I mean, the whole thing was great. Like, he thrives on the spotlight. He lives to perform. Performing is a drug, is a fix. Performing is a fix. The fans is a fix for him. But it should be for everybody, though. And he calls him a hypocrite, of course, because they're both in the same thing. You know, they're both junkies for the spotlight. But here's the thing. Drew McIntyre. When he won the belt, nobody was in the ring. It was during the pandemic. Now that he wants the belt again, he lost the belt. As soon as the pandemic was over, Drew McIntyre drops the belt. When the spotlights are shining, the real spotlights, when it matters most, Drew McIntyre can't pull through. So he says this, basically it's going to be at WrestleMania, it's going to be the biggest spotlight of your life. And you ain't ready for it, basically. And WrestleMania, 40, Drew McIntyre is going to find out he isn't as good as he thinks of himself. That's what it is. That's all it's going to be. That's, of course, when Drew McIntyre wins. I have a feeling things are going to happen. And eventually it's going to be Seth Rollins versus Cody Rhodes. I think it's going to be the final destination. Okay, here we go. Our next match, it is another tag team qualifying match for the six-pack challenge. It is another fun match. It is representing the New Day. It's Kofi Kingston, Mr. Basketball Shorts, and his partner Xavier Woods. Now, you know what? Angelo Dawkins, he stopped wearing the basketball shorts. He's wearing gear now, regular gear. And I think somebody has to pick up the basketball short game. And Kofi Kingston's on it. You're not going to wear it? Well, someone's got to wear basketball shorts, and it's got to be me. Regardless. It's New Day versus representing the Alpha Academy. It is Otis and Akira Tozawa, the meme. Although he hasn't been doing any meme-y things these days, but it is what it is. And now at the Alpha Academy side is nobody. Big. So in this match here, it was about 9.5 minutes. Eddie Orengo is doing his second match of the night. And this one here was about 9.5 minutes. You know, like I say, usually tag ropes don't matter. They don't matter. But they are used every now and then. But really, ref doesn't care if they're used or not. Now, early on in the match, the New Day got kicked out of the ring there. What's that? Tozawa with a nice tope suicida between the second and third rope. Nice job. Now, inside the ring, it is Kofi Kingston getting his ass smashed by... actually, it's both New Day. When finally, Otis gets into the ring, he starts smashing everybody, and he gets Kofi Kingston down, and with his move... it's the... now the caterpillar. Now, when you know Otis is going to win a match, he should throw the caterpillar in because he's it is a, you know, I guess a show-off move. You know, it's not necessary. I mean, it's a show dominance, I think. But he just can't throw it around, and he throws it on Kofi Kingston. He does a caterpillar. Now, following the caterpillar leads to an elbow drop by Otis. Standing elbow, and it is lame. Otis, when he stands up, he basically slips. Whoops! And he falls down with the elbow. Now, Otis slipping and falling on you, a slipping Otis and falling on you, is terrifying, because he's a big guy. But imagine if Otis knew how to jump up and drop that elbow, like a Bronson Reed. Forget about it. He can kill somebody in that ring. But anyways, we move on. Now Tozawa, he gets in the ring there with, Kofi Kingston. He gets up there, hits him with a massive Santon bomb from the top rope. You know? Actually, hits Xavier Woods in the ring. They changed for me. Xavier Woods in the ring. He gets him and Pin. Tozawa fight. Tozawa gives Xavier Woods a massive Santon. Kofi Kingston breaks a pin. Him and Otis fight outside. Take the fight outside. That's when Otis gets taken out. gets taken out with the tornado DDT. And inside the ring, of course, Desire knocks off Kofi Kingston off the ring apron there. For now, it's 2-on-2. 1-on-1, I should say. And what happens is Xavier Woods gets Tozawa into the power bomb. Power La Bamba. Hits him with the La Bamba. And then Tozawa in the center of the ring. Now, usually, when Xavier Woods is feeling up to it, feeling very confident, it's a coast-to-coast. He would go one side of the ring to the other side of the ring with the with his elbow, you know, his limit breaker elbow. But this time, the center of the ring is still impressive. It's still impressive. He goes, he goes to the top rope. He walks the ropes and he springboards off with the limit breaker elbow onto Tozawa. It's over. After that, we go backstage. It's a pre-match. Becky Lynch getting ready for her match, and she finds herself face to face with the Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan, with the words of advice, she says she's not going to be there. She's not going to try and interfere with the match, and she wishes Becky Lynch the best of luck. Good for you, Liv Morgan. Moving on. We go backstage, and it's no words again. You know, what's that? Cody Rhodes going to Friday Night SmackDown to have a face-to-face with Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman and nobody else. And Seth Rollins is like, he's there for him. He's there for him, just in case. But, you know, what it is. What it is. After that, we go to our main event match. The main event match tonight, it is last woman standing match between Becky Lynch and Nia Jax. Now, this one here was about 18 minutes long. This was a barn burner, but even though this was 18 minutes, this was nonsense. This match was it was a lot of fun and very dumb. Fun and dumb. Becky Lynch, she likes to have long matches. I always say something back about Becky Lynch because you know, I think like the first couple of minutes you got to warm up, and after that, once you're warmed up, the match starts getting better. It's going to groove. But this match here, Becky Lynch is sure thing. She hustles a lot. But I think these days she's better. She has more good intentions than good matches, really. You know, just because they're long, you just seem, I don't know. I'm going on about this, but it is getting tough. It is getting tough. Now, off the bat, they fight outside. Becky Lynch is trying to set up a table. Now, this table she's setting up, trying to set up, is going to be the table that finishes the match off. But she gets the legs open. She can't, for the life of her, get that table standing. It's like, really, wow. Wow, wowie, wowie, wowie. See, it's not difficult to get a table standing. You know? I mean, especially if you're a wrestler, it's not your first table, not your first, picnic. Like, what's going on? But she couldn't do it. Nia Jax tried to do it. She couldn't set it up either. So I think eventually, Pat McAfee, I think he came in and set up that table himself. It's true. That's what I think. Anyways, match goes on. Now, we got a moment here. It was just straight up hilarious. A lot of chairs were put in the ring there. Becky Lynch gets knocked down with a chair and just gets beaten with a chair. Holy hell out of a chair. And then it's Nia Jax. She puts a chair, straddles a chair over her neck and her waist, and she sits on the chair. She sits backwards on it for some reason. So she's looking at Becky Lynch's crotch for some reason. I'm not sure why the referee's not counting. Because it's a last woman standing match. Because she's on the ground. She can't get up. The referee should be giving a 10 count. And it would be an over there. But no. So Becky Lynch grabs a kendo stick. And she's like barely flopping this kendo stick around. Just barely. It's like the lowest impact shots in the world. It is so pathetic. But Nia Jax sold those kendo stick shots like she was hit by a brick. So sad. Eventually they take a fight outside. They start scabbling around there. Becky Lynch gets a fire extinguisher shooting in the face of Nia Jax. This match was just a bunch of nonsense. They fight inside the ring there. Becky Lynch gets Simone dropped through a table. They could have ended there, but I guess Nia Jax decides to set up Becky Lynch for the Annihilator, which she does hit. But now they start fighting more. Becky Lynch gets out of that Annihilator. She slides out of the ring, or she gets out of the ring there. It's not a count. So she gets up. Becky Lynch slides out of the ring, so she's standing up. they take the fight. It's tough. It's tough. Nia Jax takes Becky Lynch on her shoulder. She's walking around with a Samoan drop. She's going to Samoan drop her through the table. Becky Lynch tried to set up in the beginning where it was Pat McAfee finish up. So the table's now set up outside, ready for a Samoan drop by Nia Jax. Becky Lynch gets off the Samoan drop and then gives Nia Jax the manhandle slam through the table. And after that, Nia Jax gets up, beaming the 10 count. Which, this is the last sequence. It's really strange. It set itself up because it's ridiculous. So Becky Lynch, first thing Becky Lynch does, you know, there's this a ladder that's set up outside next to the commentating table. Becky Lynch climbs up that ladder. Nia Jax, she stumbles around. She stumbles around back at the commentating table and lays on top of the table. She lays herself on, by herself, puts herself on top of the table because Becky Lynch wasn't there to do the job. It's like, what is going on? And Becky Lynch, couple feet off the ground with a massive leg drop putting. Now this is where, of course, the commentators, they pull the pins out of the old commentating table so they can be collapsible, because if that didn't work, if it didn't collapse with the tiny Becky Lynch jumping off the top rope there, she could snap her spine in half. Anyway, she goes off, she hits a leg drop on Nia Jax, table collapses, wham bam. Nia Jax does not beat the count. Becky Lynch, however, does. And after that, we have ourselves some Rhea Ripley comes down there. And they have a little face-to-face. A little face-to-face. Becky Lynch and what's that? Rhea Ripley waiting for what's that? WrestleMania. The WrestleMania moment. So yeah, regardless. Now, with that said, that does wrap it up for another episode of Monday Night Raw and finishes up this entire episode of Wrestling Show, a little wrestling show. So, if you have stuck around to the very end of the show, know I hold a very special place in my heart just for you. So, until then, have a great day and I hope to see you again. Anyways.